Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Cinco de Mayo. If you don't have a margarita, I hope you've got some chips and salsa. Not that I'm advocating drinking a margarita, but I know how Cinco de Mayo in the United States goes. And with that, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kaylin?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Ah, you got it. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. Man, oh man, how is your Cinco de Mayo going, my friend?
Sober. Very sober. And I'm quite happy to enjoy those sober days now.
That's good. That's good. You know, I have to say, despite what Donald Trump has to say about it, and I hope he enjoyed that Taco Bowl he was boasting about on social media today. But Cinco de Mayo is not a global Hispanic celebration. It's actually a celebration of a Mexican victory against the French, in case anybody was wondering.
That's very true.
So I'm not sure that Donald knows that, but now that all the rest of you know that, maybe you can help pull him in with that. But anyway, a lot of stuff going on in the natural competition world, lots of shows that are just flying around all over the place. Want to take a moment to say congratulations. Congratulations to all the competitors that have been competing over the last couple of weeks. Whether you came home with hardware or not, you guys, I know, rocked the stage. So we just wanted to say, you know, hats off to you for getting up there, and good luck to everyone who's getting ready to step on stage. And that kind of brings us to our topic, not kind of, our guest this evening. If you haven't been tuning in, you guys have been missing out on a lot. Kaylin and I have had a lot of great promoters on the show, talking about all these exciting opportunities coming up, and tonight is no different. We have another phenomenal promoter who is coming to us from the Des Moines, Iowa area. His name is Ryan Irwin, and he has got the Natural Iowa Championships coming up next weekend. Ryan, say hello to our listeners.
Hey, thank you, Desiree. I appreciate it. Kaylin, good to see you and talk to you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I know, it's been a while. It's been way too long. For all of our listeners who may have not had a chance to listen to you before or hear from you before, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about you.
Oh, boy. Let's see here. So I'll try not to bore people. I've been promoting competitions probably for about a decade at least. I'm also a competitor. I've been competing in drug-free bodybuilding since 92, so I don't know how many years that is. It's over 20. I'm a competitive powerlifter. I do have my pro card that I won. It took me 17 years, but I finally nabbed that. You know, I'm married, got two wonderful kids. I work with clients and help them, you know, not just get on stage, but also just look and feel their best. And I love it. I love everything about it. I love the people involved, and I love what it does for people. So here we are doing it again.
Well, I'm really happy to you know, have you on the show, because, like I said, you're one of the more passionate people about what you do, and it, you know, it shows in how you speak and walk and talk, but also how you promote a show, and also how you bring it out where people can actually enjoy it, because you want the fans and the competitors to enjoy it. I thank God for that, because, you know, it's becoming more the norm now, but it wasn't always that way. And if you could share some of the better moments you've had, and also some when you were competing where it just said, you know, a show could be run better or done better.
Yeah, I think that's just it. I mean, bodybuilding is, and when I say bodybuilding, I kind of put everything underneath that umbrella there. But bodybuilding, you know, it's kind of been a, you know, under-the-radar sport. And with the onset of physique, with bikini, all of that, it's really kind of helped it bring in a whole new generation of competitors that it's a little bit more socially accepting and a little bit more of an easier entry than it was before. So I think that has really helped catapult the sport, and I think that is a huge way to appeal more to the masses. And, you know, that said, I think it's important to do that. And, you know, I always make it a point, whether I'm talking to somebody one-on-one or I have the opportunity to MC a contest, just kind of let people know that, you know, it's achievable, it's doable, and it's not as scary as people think. And, you know, and the second part of your question is, I think in order to do that is, you know, making the competition a great event for both the competitor and the spectator. I mean, it needs to be fun. It needs to be well organized. That's my pet peeve. You know, having been a competitor for many years, I've been on both sides of it, and I know when things feel good and when they don't. And it can really make or break an event, not just for the competitor, but for the spectators too. So I think that's something that I've always prided myself on, is just try to, you know, make it a good experience for everybody.
Well, and you know, that's very true. I have to take a little stroll down memory lane here, because 4 years ago, your show was my very first competition. I can't even believe it's been 4 years already.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Baby Dad on stage.
Oh, what a picture that must be. But, yeah, so 4 years ago, and I would have to say that not knowing what I was doing at all, I mean, just the newbie experience, that it really was just comfortable. It was well run. You know, I didn't have to really think too hard about what it was that I needed to do. So it was a lot of fun. And I also have to say, so Ryan was my first show, but then Ryan was also my first posing coach. You can't imagine that for bikini. He was the very first posing class that I ever took. And if anybody's ever been to Ryan's show or been to a show where he has been helping with, you know that Ryan has a mean back bikini pose. He can cock that hip just as well as anybody. So if you haven't seen it, you're missing out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I can see him doing it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I mean, all men, if all men could only pose like Ryan does in a bikini, he's never been in a bikini, but the bikini posing. Well, I guess I don't know if he'd been in a bikini or not, Ryan, but we'll leave that for another show.
Yep, there you go.
So now that I'm totally off track, why don't you tell us about your show that you've got coming up next weekend? So I know you're super busy. You just had a major anniversary last year, so I know a lot of great things coming up. Why don't you let our listeners know what you got planned?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, yesterday was actually the deadline for the registration. I'm pleased to say we hit a record number. We've got 136 competitors. So I'm really happy about that.
Whoa.
And I like the way things are broken out. You know, we've got good full classes, even across the board. So, you know, it's this year. I always try new things every year, just as we all do with our training, to see if we get better. So we did online entries this year. Did online scheduling for polygraphs, and, you know, just try to streamline the process better. And so far, I think it's been well received. I'm really excited. You know, we start early in the morning. It's a continuous format all day. So, you know, it's going to go nonstop, and hopefully everybody has a real good experience. I've seen some of the people from local here in Iowa. They got people from all over the Midwest, and you know, seeing some of these pictures on social media, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
I'm glad of that. But I really got to, you know, speak up for Iowa, too. Is one of the things that just, like, always just floors me is that the memories of the fans, the people in the audience, not the competitors only, but, you know, they remember the competitors, the competition, almost down to every exact ranking or placing. And they follow this, the actual community like nobody's business. So, you know, hats off for promotions that keep bringing them back, and just kudos for, you know, giving them that kind of information on the competitors themselves.
Yeah, no, and, you know, John Becky Arnold, they just had a contest last weekend in Liberty, Missouri, or 2 weeks ago, and that was the 20th anniversary for that one. And it was neat to see some of the people that have been doing that over the years and reconnecting and seeing some old pictures. So it's really neat. I mean, it's actually our 22nd year, and it's just neat to see the history and the people that have been doing it over the years. So.
Well, and definitely, you know, congratulations, because I think your show just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and this year's attendance obviously demonstrates that. And I like the fact that you've got automated. I know the whole registration process, it is so much easier when you can go online and, you know, avoid the whole mailing or running to your office last minute to get in under the deadline in order to still make your show, which I did that. Sure did, my first show, admitting it. But
I tell you what, though, I mean, I think that, you know, just to look in the glimpse of a promoter, I mean, it's a huge burden, because my wife and I do it together, and it's nice to kind of let her have some more free time to do some other things that we can do. And, yeah, it makes a big difference. And, you know, one thing this year has been difficult, and if any of my competitors are listening, they'll attest to this. You know, polygraph scheduling is one of the hardest things, and it's hard because you try to accommodate people traveling, and obviously it's important. This year, in the state of Iowa, there's only 3 licensed polygraphers, so that's, I guess, anybody who want to get into this polygraph, and there might be an opportunity there. But 2 of them were actually, one was in a hospital, and the other one on active duty for the military. So I'm down to 1 polygrapher, and let me tell you what. It's hard anyway with 3, but just 1 makes it even tougher. So thank you for, if anybody's listening that had to deal with that, appreciate their patience. So.
Wow. And, you know, that's one of the things about being a natural show is that, you know, there are so many other things that people don't think or address or think that needs to be addressed. But like you said, it's part of the business. And, you know, I think when there's frustration, people really need to consider exactly what's going on. And even though it might seem like a small thing as a time change, it's a big deal when you're speaking on what you're talking about right now.
Well,
so with your record number in registrations this year, what kind of, I guess I'll call it trends for lack of a better word, but you know, what categories are you seeing growth in? Are any of them shrinking? Any surprises this year in the number of registrants in the different categories?
I'm finding that the masters competitors are increasing, which is exciting. I think
yes.
A lot of people are starting to see that, hey, I can still do this. And I always say that, you know, bodybuilding, natural bodybuilding is the time of year. So we're seeing that increase. Which is exciting. You know, we're seeing a lot more of the novice. We're seeing men's physique continue to grow. I'm happy to say I've got more women bodybuilders this year. So I'm old school. I'm a bodybuilder at heart. So it's neat to see the bodybuilders coming out with the women, especially. A couple of the teenagers. We got some teenagers coming back. It's like I said, it's really a really full class. So,
well, I'm really happy also for one thing, and that's that, you know, with your background and everything you do, even with your injury, you were still able to, you know, come up and have this show and still, you know, deal with the headache, because there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of time consumption involved in that, especially being a dad and a husband. How do you manage all that?
You know, it's one of those things where over the years you create systems, and I think that that's important in anything you do. I mean, the more you have to think about, the more time it takes, and the more likely there's mistakes that are going to happen. So creating systems in place, and systems might be, you know, things like online entry, but it could just be having a system of people, you know, having somebody that you know is going to do what needs to happen when they need to do it, and, you know, you just call on that person and it's done. And, you know, having those things over the year, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and as long as you learn from those mistakes, it's a good thing. And I think that, you know, over a decade of trial and error, you know, you figure out a way to do some things better and maintain a balance. So,
I mean, and that's really important, because if you don't have the balance, your show is just going to be chaos. And the athletes are going to pick up on that, and they're not going to want to participate again. So it definitely helps to have, yeah, well, it's true, all your ducks in a row on both, you know, the professional front and the personal front. Are you still going to be holding the show in Sherman Hills again this year, or what are the when, where's, and the what's that are attached?
Yeah, you bet. So, yep, it's at Hoyt Sherman. So, and that's in downtown Des Moines, right off of Woodland Avenue. The website is naturaliowamuscle.com, and you can find information there. But the show is continuous. It's a continuous format. So 8:30 is when bodybuilding starts. That's men and women. And then at 11 a.m. is when figure will start. Of course, we'll go through pre-judging and finals and everything with figure. And then at 2 p.m. is when male physique starts. So men's physique starts at 2 p.m. And then finally, we'll end it with bikini. So it's continuous throughout the day. We'll have some scheduled breaks in there, but it's one ticket all day. So it's $35 all day. You can come whenever you want and come back whenever you want. Kids 12 and under, $12, 5 and under are free. But yeah, that's pretty much the details. But again, you can get tickets at the door. You can get them at any Ticketmaster location. I wouldn't recommend that. There'll be plenty of tickets at the door. Don't pay that extra fee, and just get them when you come in.
So now the continuous format, because that's not the way that this show always used to be. How are the athletes enjoying that, or I should say receiving that, over, you know, the older format, which used to be you went all the way through pre-judging, and then you had a break, and then you had the night show?
They love it. They absolutely love it. You know, they only have to be there for 3 or 4 hours, and then they're done. You know, the judging is right there on the spot. You know, the spectators really love it, because, you know, they don't have to pretty much write off their whole day. They can see everything they want to at that one time. So it's really great. I mean, there's certain challenges to it, you know, from a logistics standpoint, but, you know, last year was our first year doing it, and I think we pulled it off very well. And, yeah, you know, and also from a competitor standpoint, it's nice to only have to, you know, peak once. You know, you get yourself ready, get yourself oiled up, get pumped up one time, boom, it's it. Go time, and then you're done, versus, okay, now I got to do this again in 6 hours. So.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've loved about you and your wife is that you guys really take it to heart, everything that's going on. And you know, as much as you, like you said, you'd like things to roll around perfect, there are some times, you know, where things don't go as well as planned. And I've watched, you know, the biggest smile go to, like, oh, my goodness, what could we have done to fix this? You know, as a promoter and as a competitor that understands, you know, that, you know, this is their time to shine, how does that really, you know, work on you? And how do you feel when that happens, where you can, like, because I know you want to control every competitor in the best way, but sometimes, like you said, there's just times where it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, setting expectations are important. You know, I really try to communicate to people, getting feedback, you know, from judges based on how they place, and, you know, making sure that they understand what's going on. And, you know, I think that, for as much, I mean, people put so much time, effort, money, into getting ready for a competition. So there's a huge, huge opportunity to have a letdown. So I think that just kind of preparing them in advance. And, you know, I think that's important from a preparation point, you know, when they're going into it and making sure they understand what to expect. And I always tell people, I mean, this sport is about you against yourself. I mean, it's, you know, once you get on stage, that's your next competitor. It's just to beat yourself. And if you do that, you'll love it. You know, every time you hopefully get better and you improve, and that's what's fulfilling. You know, it's not the piece of plastic or glass that you get. It's what you get inside that really counts.
You know, and I couldn't agree more with that. And I almost want to take this back a couple of steps as you're talking about preparation, because you're talking about expectation. But there's so much more, I think, about the preparation process that sometimes athletes take for granted. And I think sometimes we kind of rush the process because we think it's an easy thing. I know that was kind
Good
of
point.
My mentality
Good
when I was
point.
First getting started. But that's only because that's what was told to me. You know, what would you share with someone who's getting ready to prep for a show?
I think the biggest thing is having the clear idea of what it's going to take, you know, from a time perspective, from a commitment perspective, what it's going to take from a budget perspective, you know, and just know. I mean, I would say that honestly, to do it right, it's going to take at least a year to get ready for a competition. And I say that to do it right. I mean, I don't want to tell somebody that, hey, they get an idea that 20, 25 weeks out, they want to do a contest and they're not going to be able to do it. I'm not saying that. But for most people, they need to prepare in advance, you know, check your calendar, make sure that, you know, your cousin Sarah's not getting married, making sure that, you know, your uncle's not moving or something like that. Make sure your life's in check, and then, you know, make sure you budget enough money, enough funds for it, because it is expensive. And then do your homework. You know, I mean, for bodybuilding, whichever category you're in, you have to have muscle development, you know, and that takes a lot of time. You know, that's building that foundation, that muscle, I mean, that takes longer and it's harder work than the diet. So, you know, making sure you're adequately prepared, you know, from that standpoint. And then finally, just, you know, either, I don't want to say you have to hire a coach. You certainly don't have to do that, but you need to do the research. You need to either talk to somebody who you know based on your observations or from a trusted source that knows what they're doing. They've got a number of contests under their belt that's willing to take you under their wing, or hire a professional that's willing to coach you through it, because, you know, you'll definitely have a much better experience than just trying to go at it on your own, and you'll save time in the process.
Well, you know, as a promoter and as a competitor, and just as an all-around nice guy, you've seen some things that, you know, just have to hurt you after a while. And, you know, and Des and I have talked about this on the show a couple of times, and it's that gym-ready look, and then there's that stage-ready look. And like you said, if they don't have the right research or the right coach, it's going to be really crappy really quick. And how do you go about catching them basically before they fall off the cliff?
Yeah, you know, and that the best thing, I mean, like right here, right now, this is a great way to do it. You know, just kind of reaching out to people, social media, you know, writing articles, blog posts, posting pictures, doing seminars, you know, and I think all of those are ways that people can get out there and get educated. You know, I get people all the time ask me things. I mean, the organization that I'm involved with, the NANBF, you know, we've got a really good website with a lot of resources, you know, so I direct people to NANBF.org all the time, say, hey, go look at some pictures, you know, go see what it's all about. And, you know, I think that's just the biggest thing is don't go blindly. You know, it's kind of like buying a car. I mean, some people just go out and they'll buy a car because, oh, that car's nice and shiny. You know, I like it. It looks good. It fits my budget. but then they don't do any research, and then lo and behold, they have a lemon, or they don't get any good gas mileage, or their butt doesn't fit in the seat, or something, and they're not happy. But somebody else is completely happy with that thing. So I think it's important to really do the research and just see what it's all about. Sorry, that's my analogy. I came up with that.
No, I love it.
You gave Kalen a mental picture he's going to run with here in a minute. I just know that he will. So that's good. Good point. Do your homework. And you were also talking about budgeting, and I know I'm going to totally put you on the spot, but what would you say is an approximate budget, knowing that it's going to differ for every person, but on average, an approximate budget to prepare to compete through competition day?
Oh, man. Well, so I think it depends on what level. Let's not even talk about hiring a coach or anything like that, because you certainly don't need to do that. But I would say you're probably going to honestly want to probably budget like $500. And, I mean, just breaking it out real quick, you figure, you know, your entry fee is probably going to be about $100, because you probably do one or two different classes. You know, you need to get your posing suit or your bikini, and there's going to be about $100. Don't spend much more than $100 on it, please. You know, you're going to get your spray tan or your tanning. There's probably another $100. You know, you're going to have a hotel. You're going to have to travel. There's probably at least another $100, if not $200. You know, so right there, that's pretty much $500, and certainly, you know, you've got your food and you've got, you know, those other components of it. But, yeah, so I'd say $500 would probably at least get you in the ballpark.
Yeah, I would even say at a minimum. I mean, not to scare anyone away, but let's be realistic about this. I mean, a lot of these costs add up quick, and that's not even, I mean, yeah, your food, but if you're training for – say a minimum 12 weeks up to a year, and that's, you know, all of that eating up through then, your supplementation. He mentioned posing too, but ladies, you know, if you're not a bodybuilder, you're going to need those 5-inch heels as well, and all the bling that goes with it, and hair and makeup if you choose to. So, you know, it's like anything, you know, you definitely want to put the pen to paper, figure out your budget, and make sure that it's feasible for you to compete.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, definitely lots to consider. Who can we expect? I don't know if you can share this, but who do you have coming in for the judging panel this year?
Certainly. We've got 8 judges. I'm pleased to say we got Becky Arnold back as our head judge. She does a great job. Your head judge is extremely important, and I can't understate that enough, because not only do they, I mean, the easy part is putting people through the poses, but they really help keep the contest running smooth. You know, and it's not just making sure that people are posing right, but it's helping the other judges get a good look at everybody. It's also making sure that we stay on track and on time. You know, as a judge, it'd be great to have every class out there for 30 minutes. The competitors wouldn't like it, but it sure would be nice, but we just can't afford that time. So they really make things run smooth, make sure the scoring goes correctly. So Becky Arnold, she's been an NANBF regional judge for years, and she's fabulous. So got her, and, of course, her husband, John. They're going to be up, and then, let's see, we've got a few locals. Candy Bishop, she's a pro, and a lot of people know her. You know, I think she actually won her pro card on my contest years and years ago.
I'm
great
pretty sure
poster.
That.
Yeah, and let's see, who else do we have? We got Jessica Irvin. She's a pro. She's coming in from Chicago. She actually used to be a Des Moinian, as a lot of people like to say, but she's a pro. let's see, who else do we have here? You know, we've got Vicki Williams. She's a competitor. She also designs suits and makes suits, so she definitely knows the presentations. The Marriers from Wisconsin. No, they're from Minnesota. Julie and Mike Marrier, both former competitors, both promoters from Minnesota. They're coming down. Al Style from Cedar Rapids. He promotes the Best of the Midwest that you guys are both familiar with. He's a former competitor, extremely good judge, really good eye, very passionate. He's one of the best as far as talking with competitors. So he's going to be judging as well. Oh, man, I'm going to miss somebody. I'm going to feel horrible about it. But I think the big thing I try to do with my panel is I try to get a pretty even split of men and women because I think that's important. I also try to get a good background. Like some people have a figure background. Some people have bodybuilding background. You know, I try to get a good geographic spread so it's not like all locals or anything like that. So I'm really pleased with our panel, and they always do a really good job.
I had a really commend Mrs. Arnold, because now if you talk about professional, I don't know if you remember the wardrobe incident in the women's bodybuilding, and she was able to do that professionally and hold on to the audience and the stage and basically keep the atmosphere from becoming a sideshow of, you know, comedy and jokes about somebody's, you know, I don't really know how to say it in a polite way, but it was just, it could have been a very uncomfortable time, but it ended up being really very well done and professionally done to where it stayed bodybuilding and it stayed fitness and it didn't become a joke and, you know, the woman wasn't embarrassed at.
Yeah, no, she's great. She just puts people at ease, you know, and, yeah, love them. They do great. And, you know, I always tell my competitors to, you know, make sure that they get their judges' comments, but, you know, talk to the judges at the post party. That's one of the best things about the post party is the judges are there. They've got their books in hand. Just ask them, and they love giving that feedback.
Yeah. I mean, and that's an important thing. Some people like to get judges' comments. Some don't. But if you can and you plan on competing again, it's definitely worthwhile to do. And, Taylor, I'm actually glad you brought up the suit malfunction, because that's something that actually happens a lot, especially for the ladies. I can't tell you how many times I have seen someone backstage getting ready to go on and their suit pops. If you have jewelry on your suit, a connector or something like that, and it doesn't stay together well, and the next thing you know, you're scrambling to either get it sewed up or tie it or do something, because if your suit doesn't fit well, A, the judges know, and they're going to dock your scoring for that, and B, you know, you are opening yourself up for an embarrassing situation. So, you know, if you're a new competitor and you've never heard of that or have not seen it happen to someone else, definitely something to keep in mind, because it's not fun when the suit is not doing what it's supposed to do, and I've experienced that myself as well. And the judges see it. They definitely see it all. And if they're good judges like the ones that Ryan has lined up, they're going to notice. So definitely want to keep that in mind. And now nobody knows where to go after that.
Oh, I do.
That's okay.
I do.
You do. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
What do you got?
Because, you know, what I was going to say is that since we were talking about the after party, the one thing that I really like to get out there is that, you know, the judges, especially the panel that Ryan's fixed, because I know most of them, they really do want to give that feedback. And one of the things that, you know, Ryan says, and I know John and Becky say as well, is that get to them quickly so they can remember your placing, because, you know, it's more numbers instead of names. And, you know, so they can remember more, because, you know, as time lapses and people don't understand, you know, like Ryan said, it's 137 competitors, and I'm supposed to remember exactly you and every ballpoint about you and no one else, because that's the only person that matters. You can't think that way. You have to be involved with the understanding that there are other people out there, and regardless of the plaything, you know, they still have to remember or recognize something about that person that stood out, that, or, you know, good or bad, that helps. So, Ryan, you know, when you're giving feedback, you know, what's the things that you like to focus on and help the person engage more into being healthier instead of, you know, running away, you know, just hurt and scared?
Well, I think, you know, when I'm judging, and, you know, I judged at John and Becky's a couple of weeks ago, is I think the first thing I do is I seek out the competitors. You know, I mean, I've got my judges book in hand, and, you know, hopefully more people come out to the after party so I can do that. But, you know, a lot of them, they'll come out, and they're just there to eat, and either they're intimidated, like, oh, I don't want to talk to the judges, you know, they've been busy all day, they look like they're having fun, I don't want to talk to them, or I don't know how to start, so I'll just go find them, I'll just go sit out, and of course, we all know they stick out like a sore thumb, you know, they're the guys that look like, you know, they've got some sort of a weird skin malady, and they're stuffing their face full of pizza, so they're easy to spot in the restaurant, so I'll go up to them, and I'll say, hey, you want some feedback, and, you know, and then just start giving them information, and, you know, I think that it's important to do that at the time. I mean, a lot of promoters, you know, we give competitors the opportunity to get their scores, get their feedback, and that's good and fine. And, you know, some people say, well, gosh, you know, because we do charge a little bit for it. It's like $5. Some people do $10, but it takes a ton of time to do that, and we're happy to do it, but I would much rather people not even buy that. I would rather they just go get it straight from the horse's mouth, because you're going to get a lot more than you would anyway. And you know what? They might have other recommendations. I guarantee they have more recommendations and more feedback than what's on their judges' sheets, because, you know, they'll see your physique, but they've only got about, you know, 60 seconds to actually write something down, but they could do a lot more if you had the time. So, you know, and they like to do that. They appreciate that. So I think the biggest thing is just continually get feedback. And, again, going back to getting better every year, that's part of it. You know, getting pictures, getting photos while you're there, getting video or whatever you can, just so you can not only know what to do to get better, but then just know if you are getting better.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And, you know, there's some other things that need to be addressed. You know, like, as much as we as competitors put on the promoter for a good show, there's a certain atmosphere and, I guess, attitude that we should bring. And what works best for a promotion for you to basically keep things running smoothly? You know, how do you expect the competitors to conduct themselves?
Well, the biggest thing is being on time. You know, being where you're supposed to be, and then reading the information that's given to you. So I'm not saying that I'm perfect and far from it, but I'd really, over the years, I think that every year I get a little bit of feedback or I get one question, so I write a note down and say, okay, I didn't answer that question, so I'll put that in the competitor's packet. So I've got a pretty detailed competitor's packet, so I actually don't even have – I've got check-in. But I don't even have a competitor's meeting now. It's all there. So reading the information, making sure they understand it, and then being on time. You know, like, for example, figure. They're supposed to – the contest starts at 11 for them. Report an hour before. Do it. You know, go backstage, you know, and be there and do your job. And then just pay attention to the expediter and the schedule and just be aware. I think that's probably the biggest thing, is just being aware and having somebody there to help you can help you be more aware. You know, if you're kind of brain dead or maybe you're just stressed out or, you know, if this is your first contest, you're not really sure about the format, you know, grab somebody that either can be your helper or buddy up with somebody who seems like they know what they're doing. I mean, everybody's usually willing to help. And just being on time and reading your stuff, and that's probably the biggest thing.
So I have a format question. T-Walk, do you still have that as part of the competition?
Yep.
And is it judged or is it just for the audience?
So it's not going to factor into your score, but a lot of times that's when the judges are writing down comments. So when I put my judge's hat on for a moment, when they're up in their lineup, you know, you're scoring them, you're judging them against each other. You know, you're more focused on getting that right. And then when they come back out and they do their posing routine or their walk, that's when you can kind of break them down and say, okay, you need to be leaner, or you need a bigger back, or you need to be darker, or whatever the case is. So while you might not impact your score in those routines, that's when you're going to get your best feedback. So I think that that's important. And certainly, let's say you have the good fortune of winning your class. I can promise you that if you have a knockdown routine and you go up against somebody else that won their class and theirs wasn't, you're going to have an edge, an absolute edge. There's no question about it. So it's, while it doesn't directly impact your score, it certainly can impact your outcome.
All right.
Okay. Well, keeping the judge's hat on, the one thing, you know, when you're being the judge, especially the panel you have right now, I've seen some posts on the social medium where it seems like it's almost like they're trying to portray that the judges as demons when basically they're just doing what they're supposed to do, which is judge. I don't think there's any vindictive judges in the natural community. If you know them, you know, I wouldn't ask you to put them out on blast right now, but just, you know, maybe make people aware of it. But I have yet to meet a judge that said, you know, this person loses no matter what. And so when you have that kind of competitor putting, you know, that kind of, you know, basically stuff into the ether, how do you deal with that as a promoter and as a head judge when it seems like, you know, it's made you're basically put in the demon seat, and basically you're just doing exactly what you're supposed to do, which is judge the criteria?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a lot of times these competitors are hearing from their buddies or whatnot, and, of course, you know, to them they look like, you know, Hercules. But it really is. I mean, we've got a judging system in the NANBF that, you know, you drop the high and the low score. So it does, I mean, every once in a while you'll have an outlier, and that should take care of that. But sometimes, too, like it happened at John and Becky's contest. There was a phenomenal, actually there's a few of them. There's some phenomenal physiques in men's physique, but they really should have been in bodybuilding. And, you know, that's the hardest part is when you see somebody like, wow, if only you would have been in bodybuilding, you probably would have won. You know, but they're not in the right category. And that, again, that goes back to what we talked about earlier, is doing your homework, seeing where you fit in. I mean, now that there's so many different categories, you know, just as a judge, we have to do our job and judge people based on the criteria. You know, just because there's a female up there who looks phenomenal, but she's got too much muscle, she's too lean to be in bikini. So she's going to get scored down. She should be in figure or in women's physique or bodybuilding. So that's usually what happens is people don't see that. They say, well, gosh, that's obviously the best physique. Well, it's a great physique, but just not for that category.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I've seen two shows where, like you were saying, you had a phenomenal physique, but in the wrong class and category. And, I mean, it was a firestorm of people yelling and screaming, but basically it was a figure physique in bikini. And I said that if you're talking about criteria, granted, you know, if you got, like you said, you got somebody that looks wonderful on stage, but if you're talking about the class itself, then it's not even a comparison because they're so far out from what the judges are looking for. What do you expect the judges to do? And, you know, I'm sure that you guys have to look at each other and say, oh, you know, my goodness, it's almost got to be a disappointment for you.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad. I mean, I hate to say that, but it is, because you're like, oh, I want to award this person what they really should be awarded if they were in the right category. You know, and I think something that I try and do when I MC is I try to kind of give the audience a little bit of a taste of what judges are looking for, just to educate them. You know, some people know, but a lot of them don't. They just say, wow, that person's huge or whatever, and that's awesome. But, you know, just kind of give them an idea of, okay, we're going to now see bikini, which is a softer look than what we saw with figure or whatever. And so that way they're like, oh, okay. Or they kind of say, okay, so this isn't just, okay, who's the most massive or who's the most shredded. So.
Yeah, Yep. I mean, and that's important because a lot of times, you know, that's where the confusion comes from, is why someone didn't place, or, you know, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. You looked great. But, you know, sometimes there is still that confusion even among the judging panel, and I think some of that probably just comes from experience. And I say that because, you know, sometimes, and I've seen it happen, where judges disagree on what the criteria is that they're looking for a given category, and it does. It just happens. I'm not saying it always happens, but sometimes it does happen. So, you know, it's a very subjective sport. And that's just the nature of
absolutely.
It. And I think that's just, you know, people just need to keep that in mind.
Yep. And that's why it goes back to, again, you're your main competitor. So, and I think with that, you know, people will find more satisfaction versus nobody's crossing the finish line, nobody's lifting the most weight or jumping the highest. So that's absolutely part of it.
For sure. Well, it's going to be a great show coming up again next weekend, I know for sure. Why don't you quick give us all the rundown, just so if people want to take in notes earlier, they can have it all in front of them right now.
Absolutely. So everything starts on next Saturday, May 14th. It's at the Hoyt Sherman Place, which is the 1500 block of Woodland Avenue in Des Moines. And the bodybuilding starts at 8:30 in the morning. Figure starts at 11 a.m. Men's physique starts at 2 p.m. And bikini starts at 5 p.m. It's a pro qualifier. It's a running format, so you can pick and choose when you want to come. Tickets are available at the door, $35 all day, any time of the day. Kids 12 and under are $12, and 5 and under are free. Any other information you might need, you can go to the website, which is naturaliowamuscle.com, or you can also go to the NANBF website, which is nanbf.org, and that should give you all the information that you need.
Awesome. And then real quick, do you still have the pose off for the kids?
Yep, I do. I do that. You know, going back to the whole continuous format, that is one thing that is a little harder to do. You know, we can't do it at finals with the lights and the intermission and all that. But, yeah, we still do that. We're doing it after the bodybuilding. The men and the women do all their posing routines. So it'll be in that first morning session at 8:30.
Awesome. So for anyone who's going to be there, if you have a smaller one who likes to pose and show their stuff, they can definitely jump on stage and get a chance to do that. And Ryan, we would be remiss if we didn't give you an opportunity to give a shout-out to anybody and everybody that's been helping you along the way.
Yeah, well, certainly I need to thank my sponsors, Total Nutrition of Ankeny. They've been a great sponsor, first-year sponsor. We've also got Beefcake Fuel Meals. They prepare meals, meal prep to go. HMB, MTI, great company based here in Iowa. HMB is a really proven scientific supplement, so they're definitely somebody I want to thank. And Sheik Sports, John Sheik and his family are great. They've been supporting this contest for years, so definitely want to thank them. And many, many other companies that have been helping out through goods and services. And, you know, of course, I need to thank my amazing wife, Mandy, who helps me keep my head on straight and just keep all the balls in the air. So, and all the volunteers that are going to be helping out. It's not me, it's we. And I really appreciate everybody that's involved.
Well, great job, man. Thanks, Ryan. And one other thing, you know, I sure want people to understand, you know, that the information's out there, and you guys do a great job of getting that information out there. All they have to do is look. And, you know, I don't know if you can remember, but I remember it quite well, is you and I had been talking about the information that I'd been reading, and then someone actually asked, well, not really asked, but basically said that you didn't put that information out there ahead of time. And we were just talking about it. And I couldn't help but laugh because I was like, I can rebut this one. Because I was holding the format in my hand. You know, you'd actually printed it out on paper. So the information's there. The classes are very good in how they're described. So please don't blame the promoter for the information that's there for you months, if not years ahead of time, because it's not set just for that show. It's set for the whole organization. And thank you, Ryan, for doing those things that you do and basically keeping the temperament when you have people like that approach you and still have that smile that's so genuine, you and your wife, and just, you know, basically making us feel at home when we arrive.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I love it. I love, again, I love what the sport's all about, and I love, you know, what it can do for people. So I want to really thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate what you do for the sport and the community, educating people, giving people the opportunity to spread the word about what natural bodybuilding is all about. So thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey,
thanks, Ryan, and have a great night.
All right, you guys too.
Say hi to Mandy.
Yeah, say hi to Mandy. So another good one coming up. I'm a little sad I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be able to get to attend this one, but I'll definitely be looking forward to the results and all of the posts from the competitors that are going to be coming out.
How can you live in Iowa and then leave
there?
Iowa when you have an Iowa show?
There? I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's so wrong, right? And then I'm going to be traveling to Chicago the week after that to go get another show.
Just to be at a Chicago show. You're just so wrong. You're just so wrong. There's no love.
Yeah, there's no justice. There's no justice in the world. So, Joe Perez, Chi-Town Showdown, I hope you're ready for Midwest Muscle P4P Real Talk to come and dance on your doorstep, because we're going to be there.
And there's a moonwalk, because she likes to take things back.
That too. So, Chi-Town Showdown coming up on the 21st. Of May.
Yep.
Also, another great show that's going to be coming up here pretty soon is May 16th, if I've got that right. The NGA, Heartland of America, that's going to be in Washington, Illinois. So another one that's right in the middle of the Midwest. We're also going to be looking at the DFAC USA Naturals in St. Paul, June 11th. We've got the Windy City Naturals in Chicago again, August 13th. The 2016 Gateway Naturals, September 24th. And we've also got the DFAC Minnesota Mayhem coming up in there, too. So that's just a taste.
That show's turning out to be one of the
biggest
shows. That's going to be the Minnesota Mayhem is basically becoming like the Mecca for the Midwest as far as, you know, a pro AM show, and hats off to Lee for you know, setting up where people are just, you know, basically knocking the door down trying to get their registration in before the cutoff. So,
yeah,
wow.
That's happening.
I mean,
it's 200, right? Is it 200 for that show, or was it 200 for the Naturals? I'm getting my stats mixed up here, but yeah.
No, you're right. It's 200 for the
Naturals. Yep. So if you're interested, you need to get online and get signed up and get
Don't
your press
wait.
Going.
Don't
wait.
Don't
you're going to miss out. And just so you guys know, we did not forget, but we are not having a supplement spotlight this evening. Kalen's waiting for his oh shucks.
There you
also
go. Oh, you scared
name.
Me. Oh, you scared
has
me.
Another name, but we're sticking with the oh shucks. Pre-workout.
Yes.
And so as soon as he gets that in, of the two of us, he's going to be the one to do the testing, and he'll have a report for us hopefully soon.
And hopefully the phone isn't broken and I'm not bouncing off the walls.
Hopefully so, because if it's as good as they're saying it is, that is a real possibility, So,
that's very true, because like I said, I doubted the snickerdoodle, and, you know, I've been shamed ever since, and it seems
isn't
like
that,
every time I said, no, it's not like that.
Isn't that one of the 12 commandments, thou shalt not doubt the snickerdoodle?
Right? It has to be. Thou shalt not doubt the snicker.
Just make sure that you tried the oh shucks at least a day or two before the show, because I can't even imagine what the show will be like if you try it the day of.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
So
that is a very good idea. I think I'll do that, because yeah. I remember like the chain reaction was like I was not ready for the chain reaction, and obviously I wasn't ready for the snickerdoodle. I don't think I've been ready for anything. Well, I'm just going to put this disclaimer out there, because it's the honest to goodness truth. I take all the supplements that P4P has, because I'm a sponsored athlete. So I love the fact that, you know, what they give is all natural ingredients. So with that, you know, I don't have to be afraid to speak on it. And, you know, to actually live that life, I'm not ashamed, because everything in there is exactly what it says it is. You know, it's how many people have basically lost their natural careers by, well, they say they're taking a supplement that has an unwanted ingredient, and I don't have to worry about that with P4P.
Nope. And that's a plus. And that's a plus. So be sure you guys join us next week, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, Tuesday, Thursday. Not sure when it's going to happen, but we're going to be talking about oh shucks. We've got some more fantastic guests coming up, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but we've got international listeners, people around the world tune in for Real Talk, which absolutely blows me away. The fact that we have the growing listenership that we have, I just don't even have words for it, so I just say thank you, love, hugs, and kisses to all of you out there who take time out to spend time with Kaylin and I, to spend time with our guests, to just learn, get educated, and connect with other people out there in the Natty Nation. You guys rock, and we really appreciate it, and just love that you take the time to join the conversation.
Wow. Preach. Testify.
All right, then. So the only thing left to say is your body is a temple. So let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.